Okay. Good morning. I'm not sure I can pull this off. I'm not sure I can talk to you, read out of the Bible, look at this, make sure the slides are on the right, the slide is on the right slide at the time I need it to be there. So bear with me and pray about it. Before we get started, tomorrow is a special day also. It's Jim's birthday. He would be 68 tomorrow. And I thought, you know, the Lord knows how to prepare a banquet. He knows how to put on a feast. And I'm hoping Jim's having a great birthday tomorrow with his Father in heaven. Isn't it a marvelous thought? With all the trimmings. He loved all the trimmings. I also would say that this week's message is a little different. It's actually three separate thoughts, but that are joined together by a thread, and I hope the thread is obvious and evident when we get through this morning. But if it's not, you'll have three separate thoughts to take home with you this morning. And there's nothing new here, really. But hopefully we can understand that Jesus didn't leave us comfortless. He didn't leave us without his lifeblood to save us from our state of sin. And that he now sits at the right hand of his Father in heaven, making intercession for us. Lord, we ask you this morning to send your Holy Spirit. Mold us, make us, fill us with your presence today, Lord, and help us to understand, to deliver, and to receive this word. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Obviously, I'm talking about these three thoughts today. Abiding in the vine, the fruits of the Spirit, and these three bear record. Can you see it? Can you read it? Okay. Good. It was hard to get it all on one slide. I'm reading in John 15, and I'm going to read 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Remember that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them together, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The setting here in the few previous chapters, Jesus and the disciples had just had the Passover supper, and Judas had just betrayed Jesus. Jesus was now reassuring them that, yes, he had to go to heaven briefly, but he would come again and be with them one more time before he left permanently to go back to heaven, so that he would see them again. And that the Father, the husbandman, as it speaks in verse 1, Jesus is the vine, he's speaking here, but the Father is the husbandman. And the husbandman, the tender of the vine, would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And in his name, he would teach us all things. I want to point out here something that we're going to come back to in a few minutes, that the scripture is very clear here in this passage that there are three separate entities, persons, people, however you want to refer to them. There is the Father, there is the Son, and there is the Holy Spirit. Three united in one for the same purpose. This slide shows the vine, the branches, and something else. The Holy Spirit producing the fruit. I told you this was going to be a tough one for me to figure out how to do this. I might need a slide monitor. Yes. Jesus as the vine. I want to tell you a story that some of you have heard Jim tell in the past, but it's so relevant here. And Ronnie, I'm glad you're here today. This is my Uncle Ron, my dad's baby brother. And we're thrilled to have you here today. We were pastoring in the town of Tulare, and Jim and I went to officiate at a funeral. He was the speaker, and I was the pianist, organist, actually, at that particular place. And while we were gone, Grandma and Grandpa Wilbanks showed up and proceeded to prune our garden. We had multiple trees. We had peaches, nectarines, a lot of tomatoes. I can't remember what else, but the peaches and the nectarines are what I really want to talk about. And we pulled in and saw Grandpa up on the ladder, which he was probably in his 60s. He had to be at least in his 60s, and he's up there on the ladder, and there was an enormous pile of brush that he had pruned out of the trees. And I can remember this so clearly. Jim said, "Oh no, we're not gonna have any fruit at all. He's cut everything down. There's nothing but twigs left." Well, guess what? We had the biggest, juiciest, most volume of fruit we'd ever had. And people around there were absolutely stunned at, I'm not joking you, peaches and nectarines that weighed a pound a piece. They were huge and so juicy and wonderful. We ate it until we were, you can only tolerate so much fruit at a time. We canned it, we gave it away, and we still had fruit. So Grandpa knew what he was doing. It was only us that didn't know what he was doing, why he was doing it, and what the outcome of that would be. The message here changes just a little bit. It gets a little bit probing and personal. perhaps a little bit digging, nudging in. As we just read, we have to be secured to the vine in order for the Holy Spirit to have access to us to grow fruit. So what's growing on your branch? I'm going to read a few things in Galatians. I'm also having trouble figuring out how to mark my Bible. I don't know how Jim did this, or anybody else for that matter. There's a lot that goes on, and when you're playing the piano and thinking about that, and then you get up here and have to switch gears. Oh, Lord, give me strength. Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Obviously, if we look at the other side of that slide, it goes on to talk about the works of the flesh. And I'm not going to read those. You can see them for yourself. Maybe you might recognize something on that list that you'd like the Lord to prune out, cut away, get rid of, the dross, the dead twigs that don't need to be there. Like Grandpa cut off all that huge pile of brush and took it away, so does the Holy Spirit within us. And if he doesn't do that, you know, the First John said that he does this so that we bear more fruit. We can't bear the fruit without the purging, without the pruning, without the digging out, without the removal. And it's a painful process sometimes. It's not fun to be pruned or purged as a person. There's things that we hold on to in our hearts that we like for various reasons, but they're not good for us, and the Lord knows they're not good for us, and he allows the Holy Spirit to move in and cut them out. But the result is that we get the best fruit. We get the heavy, juicy, perfect fruit created by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to move to 1 John. First John 5, 7 through 11. I'm going to read this, and I'm reading it for a purpose. As I said, there's nothing new here today, but a refresher maybe, a reminder. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and notice that's a capital W. Am I on the right slide? Yes. The Word, which is interchangeable with the Son. Remember, the Bible says that the Word was in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One and the same. The Son is the Word. So there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are also agreeing in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Of course, verse 8 pertains to man, human, this world. We're built on, in this earth, we're built on spirit, water, and blood. But in heaven, notice the three record bearers are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, because for this witness of God, he testifies of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given us, eternal life. And this is the life that is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Remember in Revelation, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 3, John wrote, "Then I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or no one in earth or under the earth was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look inside of it. Then John looked and saw a lamb as slain. And God said, 'He is worthy to open the scroll.'" What's in the record? What are the record keepers keeping? It's a deep subject, and we're barely touching the surface of it today. But they're keeping the record of those who have accepted that lamb that was slain. They're bearing, or they're keeping the record that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it is over that they watch and keep charge over those names. That is such an amazing thought. That they stand guard over the book. They stand guard over our names. And they guard it and watch it, the record keepers. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What we believe in this church is the Trinity. We always have, and as far as I'm concerned, we always will. And this means that we believe, as we read in earlier in John 15, that the Godhead is comprised of 3 separate persons, each acting in one unity of purpose, but with 3 separate identities. Spirit, or fleshly body form, as we all know, Jesus and God have taken on both spirit and bodily form at times as they deem necessary, and they created man in their own image. They each have their own soul, or seat of feeling. The soul is the feeling part of us. The Bible says that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And they have their own spirit. The spirit knows. The spirit gives us knowledge. The spirit gives us wisdom. So does theirs. We got it from them, of course. And as a church body, we pray equally to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It makes no difference to us. We are Trinitarians by birth, by nature, by education. That's who we are. We pray this way. We baptize this way. We live this way, striving to please the Father, having accepted the sacrifice of the Son, and being pliable and open and prunable, if that's a word, by the Holy Spirit, that we may be pleasing to the Lord, pleasing to the Father, the 3-in-1. Lord, we thank you today for the vine. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us the lamb slain to save our souls. And that you sent the Comforter, Lord, the Holy Spirit to us. And that you're seated in majesty in heaven, waiting for that day that you send your Son back to gather your church and take us to you. We're expecting it, Lord. We're living for it, Lord. Help us, O God, to be prunable. Help us to be moldable so that the Holy Spirit has something to work with and develop the fruit in us. Help us, Lord, to use the fruit that we have to influence others towards you, Lord, to see that lamb that was slain, that they may too come into the fold of God and be saved. We want to see it here, Lord, in Calvary Temple. We want to see those come in, Lord, seeking and hungry for your presence and your spirit, and want to be saved, Lord. Bring them in to us. Let our fruits be evident to man and draw them to you, Lord. We thank you for the word today. We thank you for hungry hearts. We thank you for fertile ground. And we ask that you would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.